There's a spider. True. I see the little ones walking out. If any of you are visiting with us today and you have your children ages 3 to 5, you are welcome to have them leave at this time. We are going to come before our Lord in our congregational prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you on this beautiful morning. Lord, we thank you for a day of rest. Lord, we thank you that we may be able to be here this morning. Lord, you are a great God. Lord, you have all things in your hand, and sometimes, Lord, it is difficult for us to see that. Yet, Lord, may we know that you are powerful and that you are all-loving, and that you care for each of us here. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us here. And as we look around, Lord, we see there are many who are not with us this morning, and Lord, being the last long weekend before the new school year begins, there are many who still are away for the weekend. We pray for each one that you would keep them in your care. We pray, Lord, that each one may come home safely. Lord, there will be many on the roads this weekend. And Lord, we pray that for safety for each one. And Lord, be a time of rest for them also. Lord, we pray for the students as they begin a new year of school again this coming week. We pray for the teachers. Lord, each one has had a break this summer, and Lord, we pray that the break may have been good and healthy, and that each one may be prepared to begin a new year. Lord, the teachers in teaching our young ones, Lord, give them the tools they need. And Lord, we pray that the kids also may have open, receptive hearts and minds to take in all, Lord, that you want them to know. Lord, we're also excited as the refugee family, the Murads, are going to be here soon. Lord, we pray that as final preparations are made and as travel begins soon, that there too there would be no hiccups and that they may be able to arrive here safely. We thank you for all those who have been able to participate in the preparations. We thank you for the committee, Lord, and the work that they do. Lord, we pray still for the many families, Lord, who are not able to leave their countries. Lord, where they feel they need to for various reasons, Lord, watch over each of them. And Lord, we pray also for our church here, Lord, as we are vacant in our pulpit. Lord, we thank you each week again for those, Lord, who you have brought to us to bring your word. And still, Lord, we pray for the Pastoral Search Committee as they continue to do their work, to prepare to call, to make a proposal, Lord. Lord, you already know who this person would be, and we pray that, Lord, that you would make the paths clear to us and to this person. And Lord, we pray for a blessing on this procedure. Lord, we thank you for the many that are here, and yet, Lord, we know for those who are not here, for some, Lord, that their hearts are hardened. We pray for them, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are ill, who are not able to be with us. Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray again for Dave. Lord, each week, each day, Lord, we stand here at home. We pray for healing for him. We pray for the family. Lord, we pray somehow, Lord, that you would hear us. We pray, Lord, for your hand over them as a family, that you would give them the strength that they stand in need of, that each day, Lord, that they would be able to go through it. Lord, we pray for Rachel. We pray for Diane and Judy. Lord, you know the struggles that they go through. We pray for healing in their lives. Lord, there are others who we do not know by name, and yet, Lord, you know who they are. Lord, we pray also for many who struggle with relationships. Here, Lord, you know also the struggles that they go through, and we ask for healing there also. Lord, you have brought each one together, and we pray, Lord, that through you they would also stay together. Lord, we pray for the boots. Lord, as Peter, and as he gets older and struggles with his health each day, we pray, Lord, that you would watch over him. Be with Janet, that she too may be able to go through each day with Peter, and knowing, Lord, that you are with them. Lord, we pray that as we go through this service now, that we thank you, Lord, that in word and in song, you are here with us. And we pray, Lord, that you would accept the words that we give to you. We pray for Kevin, Lord, as he brings us your word. Open our hearts, open our minds, and Lord, may we be drawn closer to you. We pray, Lord, that you would give Kevin the courage to speak the words that he needs to speak. And we ask this, Lord, in your name, amen.
Thanks, John. I'm going to do something a little bit differently. Starting today, and for the foreseeable future, I'm going to do a sermon series. Now, I've never done one of those before. That's mostly due to the fact that I preach here very sporadically throughout the year, and so I usually just do more one-off sermons on texts throughout the Bible. That isn't bad, that isn't good, that's just been the way it is. However, for the next year, maybe more, I'm going to do an 11-part series, yeah, 11, on the Ten Commandments. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why are we doing 11 parts on Ten Commandments? Well, it's because I'm a youth pastor, not a mathematician. The real reason is because today I knew it was the long weekend, and I knew a lot of people weren't going to be here, and so it would be weird to like start with commandment number one and have most people miss it, or at least some people miss it. So what we're going to do, this makes way more sense anyways, is today we're going to look at an introduction to the Ten Commandments, all of them in general, and ask the question, why do we have these? Are these commands given in the Old Testament still relevant for us today? And so today, we're going to look at that, the Ten Commandments in general, and then afterwards, the next 10 following, we'll look at each of the Ten Commandments and figure out what they have to do with our lives. So, welcome to the ride. Keep your hands to yourselves. Buckle up. It's going to be great. Our text today comes from Deuteronomy. Now, did you know that the Ten Commandments are found in both Deuteronomy and Exodus? See, we're learning things already. This is so exciting. We're going to read the first 6 verses of Deuteronomy 5. And these 6 verses lead right into the Ten Commandments that Moses gives here in Deuteronomy. Now, you might be asking, why are we going to read the first 6 verses and then stop at the commandments? Well, because we've already read the commandments earlier today, and because today we're looking, again, generally at the Ten Commandments. So, we're introducing them today. So, today we're going to read the introduction to the commandments that Moses gave so many years ago. So, Deuteronomy 5:1-6, please follow along. It's behind me on the screen. Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws that I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And then Moses read the Ten Commandments. Now, before we get going, I'm going to state something here, and I just want the rest of the message here, and really the whole sermon series, to back this claim up. Some people think that the Ten Commandments just aren't important anymore. They think that Jesus came along and sort of, they read that Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and they read that as Jesus abolished the law. But that's rubbish. If you've ever heard someone teach that, just ignore them. Not maybe in general, maybe they have other great things to say, but ignore that teaching. Because what we're going to discover is that not only are these Ten Commandments relevant today, but they actually work in beautiful correlation with God's promises to us, with the salvation that we find in Jesus on the cross, and with our calling in this world, our mission in this world. I'm going to leave that claim there. And I'm going to let that resonate as we dig into this question. Why do we have the Ten Commandments? Now, there's four answers to this question that I want to get to today. But before we do that, I'm going to go to point one, and I'm going to ask any kids that are left to come forward and help me out with point one, illustrate that. There's a few of you out there, and I just need a few. So kids, if you're supposed to be in children's worship time and aren't, and feel comfortable, I'm not going to make you do it, but if you feel comfortable coming up, Kobe, you're going to love this. You're going to want to come up, okay? I'm calling you out, buddy. Come on up forward, okay? We're gonna play a game here to illustrate this. So come on up. I'm going to grab the stuff we need. I need at least three of you. All right? Thanks, Kobe. Thanks, Alexis. Vienna, you too? We got a hula hoop. Oh, Zoe, you're the best. All right, here we go. I got three. Say, we're going to play a game. All right, I've got some stuff here. We've got a hula hoop. We've got a little yellow spike squishy ball. We've got a smaller green tennis ball. All right. Of course, we have rope. Got to have rope, right? Duct tape that we'll need. And most importantly, five dominoes and one dice. I'm going to put them here. All right. So we're going to play this game. There's two. Oh, that's. I meant for there to be two dice. That's on purpose. All right, we're gonna play a game. Are you ready? Okay, go.
How do you play?
Oh, you asked a question. You get 5 points. Good job, Kobe. Kobe's in the lead.
What's one?
Ah, Kobe, that's too many questions. You're down. Down to zero again. Tied. Anybody else? Zoe, you're wearing a beautiful white dress. You know what you get? The beautiful white dress award. You get 10 points. Okay, Alexis, you haven't moved, so you are actually now frozen in space for the next 5 minutes. That's a penalty. All right. All right, game over, and we have a winner. Vienna, you win the game. So, what did you think? How'd that go?
That was weird.
It was weird. Why was it weird?
Because no one won.
Because no one did anything. Why didn't we do anything?
Because we didn't know how to play.
Because we didn't know how to play. We didn't know the rules. We don't know the game if we don't know the rules, right? Well, these commandments, they're kind of like rules for life. Now, I'm not saying that life is a game. All right? But what I am saying is that God gives us these commandments so that we understand what life is about. We understand what the purpose of life is. And so, God gives us these rules to understand that, but more importantly, God gives us these rules so that we understand Him better. These commandments teach us that God is the only one to worship, and that God is the only one worth serving, and that God wants us to work hard and work fair, but also rest, and that He loves families, and that He loves relationships, and that He loves friendships, and He doesn't want us to cheat anyone. And that teaches us about who God actually is. I got one more thing. In my fancy pants reactivate mug. Here, you can have one too. There was no winner, right? There you go. Okay, round of applause for these lovely kids who came forward and helped me out. You guys can go have a seat, okay? All right, so reason number one. These commands, these rules, they teach us about who the character of God is, about who God is. The next reason, number two, it has to do with orientation. It has to do about what we focus on. You see, so much of our lives' direction has to do with what we are focused on, right? Our culture is very, very, very good at pushing this narrative, and it's this one. Focus on yourself. Is it not? That's what they say. Focus on yourself. If we focus on ourselves, we act selfishly and we make decisions based on our own needs. That's what we focus on. That's what our life becomes. That's what we orient around. If we focus solely on school and on grades, our lives quickly become consumed by our successes and failures in the classroom. Some people focus on material things and money, and they're driven by the need to obtain wealth. Others focus on power, and they're consumed about moving up the corporate ladder. If we focus solely on our kids, that ends up being the only thing we talk about. You get the idea. What we orient our lives around is what we fill our lives up with. Now, these Ten Commandments, they're given to us so that we can orient our lives around the two things that God deems as the most important things in the world. And that is God Himself and other people. The first four commands are about our relationship with God, and the following six are about our relationship with others. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 22, he says that the greatest commands are these: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So this love God and love others command that Jesus gives us, it doesn't only sum up these Ten Commandments behind me. It actually sums up all 613 laws given to the Israelite people throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they all orient God's people around two things: God and others. So the Thousand Islands question I have for you today is this: what do you orient your lives around? It's the Thousand Islands question because I'm going to ask it and just ask you to marinate in that for a while. It's pretty good, right? Kim liked it. I heard her laugh over there. What do you orient your lives around? All right, so the first reason we have these commands is to teach us about God. The second is to orient our lives around what God desires from us. The final two reasons have to do with the idea of covenant and the idea of grace. And we're going to unpack that now for the rest of this message. So, I'm going to hammer through some of this pretty quick, so stay with me here. Before these Ten Commandments were ever written, before Moses walked through the Red Sea, before Moses even existed at all, or this nation was more than one people, God made a promise. That promise was a covenant between him and with Abraham. In that covenant, God promised to make a nation who would be God's people. They were the Israelites, and they descended from Abraham. Then, some 2,000 odd years later, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, that nation became a people made up of every nation. All nations, Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free, men, women, Galatians 3. That nation is now the church, and we are united under Christ. And so that promise of one nation remains true today. Now, that covenant between God and Abraham, though, it was more than that God would simply create a nation. It was that covenant that God made with Abraham was that he would protect them, he would be their God, and he would guide them. Now, we now know that promise to guide and protect his people was anchored in Christ on the cross and the salvation we find there. That was what God promised to do in the covenant, to guide and protect his people. One more step, though, that covenant was not simply made with just Abraham. In our text that we read today, if you read that introduction again, it says that God made a covenant with them, not their ancestors, but with them. So the continuity or the continuation of that covenant was for everyone, not just the fathers, not just Abraham, but also us. Moses' point is that this present generation that he was speaking to, these Israelites, and then therefore, by implication, all future generations, including us today, we were all just as much a partner in that covenant as those who actually stood at the foot of the mountain. So we're all included in that covenant, but again, what does that mean? Well, following Moses' claim that the covenant is for all people, he points out that they saw God face to face. Now, without going into too much depth here, the Israelite people never saw God face to face. So the use of face to face here is a symbol reminding the people that they, and again, by extension, us, are living in a relationship with God. The covenant was a personal, relational one. God was going to guide and protect and be present as our God, and we were to live in relationship with him. Now, commentator C.J. Wright, he does an excellent job digging into these Ten Commandments, and he points out this, and I love this quote. He points out that in God's eyes, ethics is not some abstract duty to impersonal, universal principles. Let me read that again. Ethics is not some abstract duty to impersonal, universal principles. He goes on, he says, still, it is still less a moral philosophy. Ethics is a matter of personal address by and personal response to a personal God with a face, though no form. This is the nature of covenant relationship, and this is what is at stake in every ethical decision and action we make. In other words, these commands are not instructions to be followed because it's ethically right, or because that's what the laws of the universe say, or because it will cause us to live more philosophically moral lives. We don't follow these commands like they're Pop-Tart toasting instructions, as if they're meant to provide us some formula to instant happiness. No. We have these commands because God made a covenant to be with, to guide, and protect you and me and all who believe. And our response to that covenant is a relational one, to live our lives as God calls us to, because he is our God. He is our Savior. He's our constant presence, our guiding us through life. These commands are the response to that relationship. So thirdly, these commands are our covenantally loyal response to this relationship that we have with our God. And the fourth reason we have these commands, and it's connected to this third one, is because of grace. God's grace for us. Isn't it always about grace? We see this by reading verse 6 of our text today. The final thing God has Moses say before listing off the Ten Commandments is this: I am the Lord your God. A relationship. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Now, maybe this isn't super obvious, but let's unpack this further. This is massively important. So please hear this. The Lord saved the Israelites first, and then the law came second. God rescued them from slavery first, and then he gave them commands. The commands was in response to the grace found in their salvation from Egypt. That one verse, the I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, it mirrors the Exodus. You see, in Exodus, there are 19 chapters of salvation before any mention of the law. And then when you get to Exodus 19, verse 3 to 6, just a few verses before the Ten Commandments come in verse 20, there's this pivotal text, and God makes the same point there. He says, you have seen what I have done. He's talking about the deliverance from Egypt. He says, you have seen what I have done, and thus directs Israel's attention to God's own redemptive initiative before calling for their response of obedience and covenant loyalty. There's this theological point, I think, that is so often misunderstood, and that is this. This point that's so often misunderstood, people believe this, that the simplistic Christian view is that the Old Testament salvation was achieved by keeping the law. And then in the New Testament, salvation is achieved by grace through faith. But that is false. You see, this view claims that in the Old Testament, the law matters, but grace and faith not so much right now. But then in the New Testament, grace and faith matters, but the law not so much anymore. But verse 6 of this text, it prevents this view. These commandments were given to Israel, not so that they could perhaps gain salvation by keeping them, because God had already saved them. And this is how that they were to live in light of that fact. Our situation is very similar. Coming out of the New Testament, salvation is found in Christ. That's the same. Christ already saved us. Before we were born, Jesus defeated the sin in our lives, that whoever believes and repents is forgiven. They're washed clean, washed as white as snow, as we just sang. It is that salvation, it's that grace that God points us to when he says, "You have seen what I have done." And by directing us, all of us here today, by directing us to that grace and salvation of God's redemptive initiative that came to fruition on the cross through Jesus Christ, long before we were even here, he calls us to a responsive obedience to these 10 commands. God saves the Israelites and gives them commands to obey. Christ saves us through the cross and gives us commands to obey. It's our response to the grace, our response to the salvation. It's our response for who God is and all he has done for us that leads us to obeying these commands. I'm going to close with one small final point. These Ten Commandments, they're often viewed as very restrictive. They're written in the negative, thou shalt not, and people often accuse them, because of that language, as being very constricting or restrictive. Well, the truth is, while they're written in the negative, it's actually very easy to write them in the positive. And as this sermon series goes on, we're actually going to look at each commandment, and we're going to read them and focus on them in the negative and in the positive. However, the truth is that the purpose of these commands, they were never meant to restrict God's people. They were never meant to restrict God's people. They were meant to bless God's people. If you read to the end of Deuteronomy 5, after the Ten Commandments are listed, God says that obeying these commands would lead to the fullness of life. And not only that, but in an exclamation that God makes in Deuteronomy 5:29, it displays the depth of his desire to bless us and have fellowship with his people. These commands aren't meant to restrict us, but bring us into a fuller relationship with God and therefore bless us. So in summary, why do we have these Ten Commandments? Why are we to obey these Ten Commandments? Well, because obeying them helps us know God better. Obeying them helps us orient our lives around the things that God finds important. Obeying them helps us respond in a covenantal loyalty to all of God's promises in our lives. And obeying them is our response to the grace already given to us by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. These commands are as relevant today as they were when Moses was alive, and so let's spend the next year or so diving into them, shall we? See how God calls us to live. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your words to us today. We're thankful for these Ten Commandments, this law, Lord, that was written so long ago, but is still so applicable to our lives. And so, Lord, as we dig into this more this year, as we focus on this at home, Lord, may you remind us, may you convict us, may you challenge us, Lord, that these laws are worth following, not because it will help us live moral lives, not because it's our ethically responsible thing to do, but because it teaches us who you are. It helps us respond to the covenant promises that you have made for us and to the grace that we have received through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it will help us orient and focus our lives on the things that truly matter in this world, both you and our neighbors. Allow us to live that this year, we pray in your name. Amen.